And I tell you what, it's by the blood of the Lamb that we can stand here this morning and we have something to talk about. We have something to preach about. We have something to say that should be heard. Other than that, we're just men running our mouths. If it ain't with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. That'll be in the New Testament. Third book. I know Harry. I'm sorry, second book. I'm looking at Harry over here. He's looking at me like he's confused. Alright, I'll get him straightened out. Second book, Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 8. This morning, I'd like to bring a message entitled, What Will You Give? What will you give? I'd like for us to think about that this morning. Not what will your mama give. Not what will your father give. Not what your family will give. Not what your community will give. What will you give? Now, I need some audience participation to get this point across. Now, I'm going to say, what will
you?
I'm not going to say you. I'm going to say, what will give? And you have to say your own name. So if I say it, I'll say, what will Sam give? And if Brother Sean says it, he'll say, what will Sean give? See? We'll all say it together. What will Sam give? This message this morning is not to your neighbor. It's for you. Each and every one of you, this message is for you. It's for me. Mark chapter 8. We'll start in verse 36. We'll start in verse 34 just to get the context of the verse. Jesus is speaking here. And it says in verse 34 of chapter 8. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Verse 37. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And my message that I want to preach this morning to you is, what will you give? What will you give in exchange for your soul when you die and you stand before a holy and righteous and almighty God? What will you give in exchange for your never dying soul? Man was made in the image of God. We're going to look at a few verses just to show you how we were made in the image of God. Take your Bible, turn back one book to the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. says this right here. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I want to say this by just reading Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. We have a body and we have a soul. That's the words of the Lord. We know we have a body and we have a soul because it said so right there. Take your Bible, turn over to Ecclesiastes. Well, no, you know, let's go to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 real quick. Genesis chapter 2. That's the first book of the Old Testament, chapter 2 and verse 7. And it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we read in Matthew chapter 10, we know a man has a body, he has a soul, and he has a spirit. That's three things. Trichotomy. Our Heavenly Father is just like that. God the Father. When we worship Him, He's the invisible God. You have Jesus Christ, who's a God body. He has the Spirit. Three. God made us just like He has Himself. You say, Brother Sam, why are you saying that? I'm saying this right here. One day, we will all die. If the Lord Jesus Christ does not come back first, all of us are on a path to death. Now, we would think it would be bad news if I was to come in next week and say, look, I went to the doctor says I got 6 months to live. We'd all be upset. Most everybody would be upset, right? I'd be upset. But we're all going to die. Now, I might have 40 more years. I might have 4 more minutes. We don't know how much time we have.
Amen.
I believe it's, Hebrews chapter 9. Let's turn there real quick. Hebrews and the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now the first thing I told you was, we've got a body, a soul, and a spirit. And the second thing I've told you is that we're going to die. And when we die, our soul will have to give answer. What will we give in exchange for our souls? And that's my message this morning. I want to speak to you on what are you planning on giving, and what will you sell, and what will you exchange for your soul when you stand before God. Mark chapter 8, it says, what will you give in exchange for yourself? If you gain the whole world, what will you give? I want to speak about death for a minute. Death comes in many ways and forms. Some people will die a very quick death. Car accidents happen all the time. One minute you're driving down the road and everything's fine, somebody might run a red light and you're dead. That fast. There is not much time there to think about things. You might be at the mall shopping and some crazy person come in with a gun and just start shooting and you might be the person that we find out about on the news that died suddenly. A sudden death could be the most horrific thing that could ever happen to you. You say, well, why do you say that, Brother Sam? Death is death. Well, sometimes a slow death, like cancer, gives you time. Time. It gives you time to think about where you're going to spend eternity. Whereas a sudden death may catch you at an unprepared time and a place where you have not made things right with God and you are going to pay for in an unexpected death. You might have a slow death. You might have something happen in your life with cancer, something that affects every one of us. All of us in here have had a relative or has relatives right now dealing with or has dealt with cancer that has taken their lives. I can give you two examples in my own personal family of a quick death and a slow death. My grandfather got stomach cancer, went to the doctors, the doctor said, Ryan, I can't eat, my stomach's not right. He did a biopsy, looked inside, and said, Harry, he said, you don't want us to know that. He said, you've got 9 kids. And that's what he did. Too hard. He went home, 86 days later, he died.
That was a slow death. That was a painful death. When Grandpa died, I remember going and seeing him. He weighed 86 pounds. He looked like a skeleton. 86 pounds. Slow death. The only good that could possibly come out of a slow death is that a man has time to make right the wrongs of his life. And I'm not talking about I lied and I stole something. I'm talking about with the Lord Jesus Christ coming to an understanding and peace of salvation of his soul. My grandfather had 4 children. One of his children was my dad, Carl Baker. He had a sister, which was my grandpa's daughter, was Nyla. Aunt Nyla. Aunt Nyla got in her car one morning. She was going to work. She made biscuits at Hardee's. That was her job. She went to work at 4 o'clock in the morning. And she'd make biscuits. And then they'd be ready when they opened up for business. She got in her car one morning and she was driving to work. Minding her own business. Sober. Going to work. She had no intentions of dying that day. She probably didn't think about how she was leaving her house. She didn't think about what was going on because she was going to be back to take care of it. Car met her halfway to work. Young girl, 22 years old, had 2 kids. Crossed the center line, drunk. Hit her head on. She died instantly. She had no time to change anything. How she left her home, that's how it was when we found it. How she left this world and her saying before God is how the Lord found it. There was no time to change. Let me tell you something this morning. Death is coming. Has no mercy. He don't care how old you are. He don't care how young you are. He don't care how good looking you are. He don't care how much money you have. He has no care for you. All he cares about is your time is here.
and I'm coming to get you.
We're all going to die. We don't know when we're going to die.
I don't know when I'm going to die. My wife doesn't know when she's going to die. And let me tell you something. None of you know when your last breath might be taken. I remember Genesis chapter 27. Isaac was talking to his sons, and he said, I'm in my old age, and I know not the day of my death. Brethren, friends, we don't know when our last day is going to be. Turn to Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 8. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8 it says, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall the wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you think, what you know, how careful you are. I don't care if you die and eat tree bark your whole entire life. You're gonna die!
Amen.
Your health and the things you eat are not gonna prolong your life with a few years. Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit a little. But you're still gonna die!
Now this isn't a popular message. You aren't going to find Joel Osteen preaching on death. That's not very positive. Let me tell you something. It's the things that of death that our God controls. In His hands are the matters of death. Let me say this. You'll never change. You'll never change your process. You'll never change your life if there's not a reason. Thieves stop stealing because they don't like going to jail. Or in some cases, they don't have any more hands to chop off. We're all going to die, brethren. Are we ready? Death's coming for us. Right now, this very moment, your day of death is already known. God knows when you're going to die. Death has already been sent the notice, and He's on His way. You will not miss that appointment. When that day comes, what will you give? When you stand before a holy and righteous and almighty God, what will you give in exchange for your soul? I like to say it this right here. What will you take? What will you take for an exchange of your soul? Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Esther. Turn to Esther in chapter 5. I want to give you three things this morning. Three things that you can exchange for your soul. Three things that people have done for generations and thousands of years before you. And you will have to choose. The first thing that you have, you can give in exchange for this right here. Power. Men sell their souls every day for more power. They give themselves over to the things that will give them more power. Esther chapter 5. Esther chapter 5. We'll start at verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house and against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And when the king said unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? And it shall be given unto thee to half the kingdom." And verse 4. And Esther answered, "If it seem good to the king to let the king and Haman come to this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king caused Haman to make haste that he should do as Esther had said. And so the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared in verse 6. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition? And it shall be granted unto thee. And what is thy request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be performed." Then Esther said, "My petition and my request is," verse 8, "if I have found favor in thy sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet, and I shall prepare for them, and I will do it tomorrow as the king hath said." Verse 9. Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, he stood not up nor moved for him. He was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called his friends and Zeresh, his wife, in verse 11, and Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Haman said, "Moreover, yea, Esther, the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet, and she had prepared but myself, and tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king." Verse 13, "Yet all this availeth me nothing as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Let me tell you something, brethren. I'm saying that to say this. Many of you are familiar with the story of Esther and Mordecai and Haman. Men and women desire to be of affluence and have power amongst other men, and they desire these things so much they will give up their never dying souls and sell themselves to the devil and the work of his crown to have this amongst men. Don't sell yourself to rule over others. The power that we see that others carry, the prominence of presidents and of kings and those of princes and the glory that they have will never attain to purchase your soul back from God. They don't have enough money. Will they stand up and be an advocate for you to God? Will they say, "Look, he worked for me and he did this and he did that"?
No, they're going to be naked, standing over or somewhere else, waiting their turn to stand before God.
Because we'll take nothing with us. We brought nothing with us.
When you came into the world, you stark naked. You bought your birthday suit and that was it. And when you go, you'll take nothing with you.
Though a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, you cannot attain the price of your soul back to God with money. Prestige, your position. What will you do? Offer God a city?
Will you offer God a position? What will you barter?
Power. People have done it for many, many years. They've never purchased their soul. Possessions. Let's turn back to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. Now the first thing I mentioned was power.
But you know, not everybody gets that chance to be in a position of power. Not many people get the prestige and the glory of those things. So that might be a limited group of people. Let's try another one. Let's try possessions.
Let's try possessions. Mark chapter 10 and verse 17 says this. Talking about Jesus Christ. It says, when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Boy, that sounds so good.
A young man recognized that Jesus Christ was who he was, ran to him. He wasn't ashamed. He
wanted to know. He didn't want him to get away without talking to him. He ran to him.
"Good master."
Verse 18. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother." Verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." I've always been doing these things. It's easy. "Oh Lord,
I've always honored my mom and dad. I don't defraud people. I don't fornicate. I don't do adultery. I'm pretty good. I'm so far, I'm doing good."
Verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Just like he loves you and me. And he said unto him, "One thing, one
thing, one thing thou lackest." One. We're talking about eternal life here. He's just got one thing.
"Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. Give it to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come take up thy cross and follow me." Verse 22. And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
I want to ask you something this morning. If Jesus Christ was at the place and you were there and able to talk to Him, the Son of God, and you said, Jesus, what can I do to inherit eternal life? How can I make it?
And He says, well, honor your father and your mother, obey the commandments, love your neighbor, all these things. And you say, oh man, I'm doing so good. Lord, I've done all these from my youth. I'm already in. I'm this close to eternal life.
Jesus says, oh, go sell what thou hast. Give it to the poor. You know why? Because he was rich. It was the one thing that stood between him and eternal life.
I want to ask you this morning.
You let your possessions stand between you and God and your eternal life? Do you have something you can take and give in exchange for your soul when you die and you get to heaven? Or are you going to say, Lord, I got 132 acres. Lord, I got a Z71 truck. You don't understand. I got a lift kit on it. It's got 33-inch tires. Mars. What will you give in exchange for your soul? What are you working for? What is the desire of your heart that you strive for? You will not give up.
Some people have power. They aren't going to give it up. Some people have possessions. And not just the possessions that they actually have, but those that they don't even really have. They're just striving to obtain.
They aren't going to give it up. And if you got them all, let's say you got everything you thought you could get your hands on. Who are you going to give it to? How are you going to barter your way for your soul? You don't get to take it with you.
We have power. We have possessions. Now the first one is a limited group.
The second one is a little bit broader group. But not everybody has possessions. Not everybody has something that they're holding on to. We got this third group here, and it covers every one of us.
This third group covers all of us and the first two. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 1. I want to say the third group here is pleasure. Pleasure. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this right here. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man and to the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24, Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, evil of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and those which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Let me tell you something. You may not have power, you may not have possessions, but you've got pleasure. Every one of us do. Let me tell you something. The devil would love to grab you and get you so involved in something in this world that brings fleshly pleasure. He'll rip every day from you. He'll rip every week from you. He'll take your months from you. He'll take your years from you. You'll have nothing left.
He'll take your soul one day at a time.
Die an unexpected death, and you'll pay for it the rest of your eternity. What are you giving in exchange for your soul? You got power? You got something you can trade with God? Maybe you've got some possessions.
Let me tell you something. The devil's biggest gamble hasn't been power. It hasn't been possessions.
It's been the pleasure of flesh in this flesh of sin for a season.
He'll just take one day at a time.
He ain't going to try to rip your whole life out from under you. He just wants one day. So, Brother Sam, what are you talking about?
I hear about it all the time. Young people getting involved in drugs.
Just one time, I'm just going to do it one time. And once he gets you hooked, very rare to get unhooked.
You say, Brother Sam, I'm not going to do any drugs.
I'm not going to do heroin. I'm not going to do anything that's going to hook me. I'm going to do some marijuana. Just go smoke some marijuana. It's not that bad. People don't get addicted to it. Let me tell you something. It's little steps that take you down the road to the step, the next step. You know what? Marijuana ain't going to make you happy one day.
It ain't going to work. I got to need something. I need something heavier. I need something bigger.
You're going to take that next step. And that step's going to wear itself out, and you're going to take the next step, and the next step,
because you want this pleasure of your flesh, and it will demand it.
Alcohol. Same thing as a drug. Let me go somewhere where it's a little closer to home. Music is a drug. You don't think it's a drug? Turn it off. Try to turn it off and go walk away from it. It's a drug! Your flesh demands to have satisfaction. Why do you think sex is so rampant? Why do you think we got so many pregnant teenagers and mothers that are under the age of 18? Why? Because the pleasure of flesh demands to be fulfilled. What does our music industry give us? Rappers. They give us rappers who
I don't know what your pleasure is.
We all have a pleasure. We all have a pleasure that our flesh demands. Which one of yours, and I say which one of yours, it may only be one. Which one of yours are you going to give in exchange for your soul?
We're all dying.
Every day we're that one day closer to the day of our death. Every day. Y'all know what loans are, right? You know what a loan is? A loan is when you go to the bank or a person and say, listen, I have a need. I have a need over here. I don't have the money to pay for it. If you'll give me the money to pay for it, I'll pay you back a little at a time. That's a loan. Now, some loans have this thing that makes them really good for those who lend. It's called interest. Right? Now, if you have a friend, they might loan you the money and say, no interest. They might do that. But the world doesn't do that. And the devil doesn't do that. He's going to give you what you want. You want pleasure? I'll load your wagon. But he's going to want payment. He ain't going to give you a break. And he don't care what your credit limit is. He'll give it to you, he'll give it to you, he'll give it to you. You'll never be able to pay it back. What are you giving in exchange? Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. I want to start in verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous they are, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak of evil, of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. Verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things which they understand not. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 13. And shall receive the reward of the unrighteous, as they have account it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, which are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Let me tell you something. You may not be the leader of that crowd that is desiring those pleasures. The Bible says, those who have pleasure in those who are doing it. You say, well, how does that work? Buy a TV set.
Buy you a TV set and you plug it in to the waves across the air. The principality and the powers of the air. You plug it in. You put the antenna in or get your dish or get your cable and you just watch whatever they put on there.
Fornication. Uncleanness. Sodomites. Lesbians. Haters of God. Evolutionists. Every one of them will be on there. You know what they'll do? Here's how your part is in taking pleasure in theirs. Watch them. Laugh at their jokes. Support them by even entertaining the things they do and say. Let me tell you what, Hollywood is the biggest gift the devil's ever been given to take people's time away from reality of real life. Music's not far behind him. If he can entertain you with your eyes are never full of seeing, never full of hearing new and things to be done and said. And music is the next greatest danger because it takes you from reality, it gives you a false pretense of life that's not real, and it promotes wickedness in your heart. Why? It makes you start thinking about the things that they're wanting to think about. They aren't singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." They're singing, "Oh, how I love me."
What will your answer be? What will your answer be? Not what would your mom and dad.
Well, my mom and dad, they go to church all the time. They're good people. They ain't going to do nothing for you. When you're standing before God, it's going to be you and you alone.
I want to give you two things that are acceptable. I want to give you two things that are acceptable for an exchange for your soul. Psalms. Psalms in the book of 34. Chapter 34. The book of Psalms, chapter 34. Psalms, chapter 34, and verse 17 and verse 18 say this right here. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such a be of a contrite spirit. Let me tell you something. A broken heart and a contrite spirit before God, of repentance of your sins and your wickedness before God, is an acceptable sacrifice. That's an acceptable trade for your soul. Why? Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. And if we'll repent of our wickedness and our wayward ways before God, and we'll accept the price that Jesus Christ has paid on the cross and His sacrifice, His blood, well, we can trade that. When you stand before the Lord, the Lord says, "Okay, Sam, I go, Lord, I don't have nothing but Jesus. I just got Jesus in His blood, His righteousness. That's all I got."
Amen.
You know what He'll say? That's good enough for me.
Let me tell you what. You'll never have anything to give. You'll never have anything to offer God, because He's demanded that a sacrifice be made, and He gave you the lamb. He gave you the blood. He gave you the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's only Him that you're going to get an acceptable trade. Turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 55. Isaiah in chapter 55 in verse 6 and 7 say this. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon.
Let me tell you something. We'll turn our hearts. We'll give up our grasp on the world. Give up our grasp on power and maybe possessions. And give up our flesh to the worldly pleasure that the world has to offer our flesh. Give it up!
Turn to the Lord! Say, Lord, have mercy on me! I'm sorry! I'm so wicked! I love the flesh! I love the things of the flesh! I love my rock and roll! I like my rap! I like the pleasures of flesh! I love those things, God! I'm sorry! Help me! He says he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Abundantly means more than you need. Abundantly pardon. You tell you what, the only acceptable gift you're going to have is going to be Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. And you aren't going to get it unless you want it. Not going to happen by accident. You are going to wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm saved. I must have twisted the right way in my sleep last night and got in. God won. The only way you're going to get saved is if you're looking for salvation. If you're happy in your sin, and you're happy in the flesh, and you're happy in all the things the world has to offer, looking for peace. You ain't looking for salvation. Let me tell you something. The world can never offer you the peace of God. There's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a void that the world will never fill. That's going to be Jesus Christ. That's my message this morning. Are you taking power?
Maybe you're taking possessions. Maybe you're taking pleasure. All these things will take you day by day, moment by moment, and they'll trick you and beguile you into a false pretense of satisfaction until the day death shows up to get you. You ain't ready. Because anybody who don't have the blood of Jesus Christ and understands and knows that it's Him and through Him and the work done on Calvary, you are not ready for death. Death's coming. He's on His way right now! Are you ready to die right now? He's coming!
Oh, I know. Maybe you think you're too young to die.
I'm in good health! I wear my seatbelt! I wear my helmet when I'm riding my bike!
Death's coming.
He's already saddled. He's on his horse. He's on his way to make that appointment. He will not be late. He will not miss you. He will not make a mistake. He's coming for you.
Are you ready?
Are each and every one of you ready to meet the Lord right now?
Sam, I don't know if I'm ready to meet the Lord right now.
The answer is no, you're not ready. If you don't know for sure, you're not ready. Only I know.
Let me tell you something. I don't want none of my friends to go to hell. I don't want none of my acquaintances to not be ready when death comes.
Today is the day of salvation.
Sister Carrie's going to come and play something. I want to open the floor for invitation. Anybody who'd like to come forward and pray for yourself, pray for your family. Let me tell you something. If you are lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come up here and you say, I want to get saved. Today.